Morning, church. Good to see all your smiling faces today. You made it out into this strange April we're having so far. And somebody in here wanted it a little bit more cold. You don't have to raise your hands, but somebody in here is very happy today. And that person is me. Not because of the cold, just because I'm about to preach about joy, so I feel like I have to be happy. So here we go. We're gonna talk about joy today. We're concluding our Easter series, all right? So we've been asking the big question, what does Easter really mean? What is the big deal around Easter? And, you know, we've been driving down deep in this, and we know that Easter means hope and that Easter means life. And this week, we're going to finish this with Easter means joy. And that this thing called Easter, which has everything to do with the resurrection, with everything to do with the crucifixion of Jesus, but more than that, the resurrection, what he's done, what he's accomplished, that pushes us towards joy and should, on a daily basis, moment by moment, push us towards joy. Now, the thing is, every day isn't so joyful, is it? This is kind of the issue that we face when we're approaching this topic of joy. I've heard it said, I don't know, I've heard my father say it, but he may have thought it up. Probably he'd heard it somewhere, but I'll give him credit for now. This thing that happiness is based on a happening. And so we often approach the day and we go, you know, I'm just not happy today. I'm just not feeling it today. Well, that happens to all of us because happiness has everything to do with circumstances, has everything to do with happenings in your life. Whereas joy is something else. Joy is something kind of out of this world, something that you can have right in the midst of suffering. This peace, this hope you can have, this joy you can have right in the face of death even. And so some of us have experienced this type of joy where you've had to face great suffering. Maybe it was sickness, maybe it was loss in your life, maybe, I don't know, fill in the blank there. And Christ has this power through the resurrection to give us joy that just pushes us right on through whatever the trial is. And that's what we want to talk about today. Now, I've for the most part not had to experience a great deal of suffering in my life. Somebody knock on wood for me. But what I have experienced are times where I was really kind of lost in life. Times where I just really didn't know where to go next. And kind of, I guess, one of the more depressing moments in my life was coming right out of high school. Supposed to be going to college. Had applied to East Carolina and was there trying to get in. And they told me, you know what, we got your final transcripts in, and we don't really know what you did your senior year other than a whole lot of nothing, okay? Because I'm a pretty smart guy, but I had gotten pretty lazy, got, like, serious, whatever senioritis is. Like, I had become an alien, I guess, and just didn't do a lot of work. And so they got my final transcripts in and said, you know what, we're not sure you're ECU material, which at the time, ECU was known as EZU. So if I couldn't get in there, that was kind of troubling. Like, if I can't get in anywhere. Now, it's not as easy to get in there now. But I'm coming away. They did this to me. I was at freshman orientation. I had driven down to Greenville, ready to go to school. And they're like, you're going to have to take a year off at a community college and prove that you actually can study. Because clearly, we don't know what you do. And so I'm driving home to Wilson from Greenville, and the whole time I don't know whether to cry or be mad or just, because the truth is I had totally blown it, and so I had no one to blame but me. And so I entered this kind of 6-month period of real depression, I think. I had to go to Wilson Community College, which to me was like the end of the world. I don't know why I felt this way, but this whole idea of having to go to a community college just sounded horrible to me. Whereas it turned out to be a very great benefit, especially financially for me. But I entered this phase where I was totally down, totally depressed. And something had to change in me. And this is what we're really gonna dig in on today, is that we often put our joy, and I'll use joy in quotes because this is not really what it is. We often put our joy in things and like, all right, I'm going to be a college kid. All right, I'm going to get married. All right, I'm going to make a lot of money. All right, I'm going to have children. All right. And we put joy out there as like something that once I get here, I can finally have this joy thing. And I had done that with my life. Like, I'm going to get out of Wilson, man. I'm tired of being in Wilson. And now here I am stuck having to go to community college, right in my hometown, still hanging out with mom and dad. I had big plans. But I had set my hope, I had set my joy on something that it was never to be set on. And we do this, right? This is what we do as humans. This is we think if we get there, it's gonna get better. But there's this crazy thing that happens. When you get here, you're still here. So wherever you go, you still have to deal with you. And you don't have joy. And so everywhere, oh, yay, I'm making a lot of money, and I'm still miserable. Daggone it. Somebody be me instead of me. I'm tired of being me because me's not joyful. This is how we face life sometimes. What is your source of joy? What is the source? Is it something you want to attain? Something you're trying to get at? Do you even have joy? I mean, really, have joy every situation, no matter. Not that you've got a smile on your face at a funeral. That's strange. But joy, something else. This peace, this hope, this joy you have on you in the face of struggle. We can face some of the life's greatest difficulties through this joy. So we're going to be in 1 Peter again today. And 2 weeks ago we were in 1 Peter, and I'm going to pick up where that left off. Because old Peter's got a lot to say. And the Apostle Peter's first letter here, he's talking to believers kind of in the Asia Minor area, which is sort of modern-day Turkey, that kind of area. That's who he's writing this letter to. And these people have experienced, are starting to experience great persecution. They're starting to experience what is going to be a few hundred years of Christian persecution under emperors like Nero and stuff like that. It's going to get very bad. And so he knows this is happening. The whole point of his letter is how to face these kind of trials with joy and hope. So what better place to go? All right, Peter. Let's go right there. We too can have this kind of wonderful joy that he's talking about here. Because why? Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. That is the cornerstone of our faith. That is our hope. That is the thing that's going to empower and drive us. So let's dig in right now. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to see a few ways right here that wonderful joy can be had through the resurrection. So let's read first verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Going down to verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. I realize right now I'm reading from my ESV, so let me pause. Everybody talk amongst yourselves. It's okay. It's okay. I'd use the New Living for this one because it says it a little better. Redo, here we go, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. That's a good word there from Peter. I'm pumped to preach this because he's saying some good stuff. So let's come right at it. Let's come right at this. How to experience wonderful joy through the resurrection of Jesus. Here's the first thing. Have faith in Him. Have faith in Him. We see Him right out of the gates, pulling into verse 6. He tells us the reason why. He says, in verse 3, he says, it's through the resurrection of Jesus. So verse 6, be truly glad. Have this wonderful joy that can even be tested like gold is tested under fire. This is the kind of joy that you can have by having faith in Him. Now we know from verse 3 this word, God has raised Jesus from the dead. This is that word anastasis again, that resurrection power to be raised. That song we just sang, I don't know if it shows it up there, but it's called anastasis as well. Oh, praise the name. And that's why we're so excited about that right there, is that Christ has been raised from the dead. So just something, this is goofy, but this is something to help you remember what we're going to talk about today, all right? We're calling this type of joy, wig joy, all right? Think wig like Donald Trump, wig joy, all right? Wig joy. There's three types of joy that Peter mentions here. He mentions wonderful, inexpressible, and glorious. This is the kind of joy that Christ says, that Peter says we can have through the resurrection. It's wonderful. It's inexpressible. It's glorious. It's wig joy. It's great. This is the kind of joy we can have. Wonderful joy. Even though we face trials of many kinds. Now I want you to see something here in verse 6 and in verse 8 and 9. You'll see him say, even though. You have joy even though you face trials. You have love for me even though you've not seen me. You trust me even though you still don't see me. It's this even though. Peter wants to go ahead and pull aside the problem. He wants to say, all right, you don't want to listen to me about joy yet, because this is happening to some of us right now. All right, here's Pastor Jonathan. He's about to talk to me about joy. But what about this, Jonathan? What about this problem in my life? Peter says right off the bat, he says, I know this is going to be your problem with joy, that you face trials. He says, but you can rejoice in those moments. I know you've got a problem with loving Him because you've never seen Him, but you can have that. He wants to address the problem right out of the gate. Here's how Jesus displays His joy for us. He willingly faces the cross. This is the joy He has for us, knowing that this will grant us the ability to have faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It gave Jesus great joy to save us. And now He is saying, through this salvation, you too can have this kind of joy that will face the worst of things. Thank God, praise be to God, we don't have to face the cross. We don't. People don't crucify people in America, thank goodness. That doesn't happen anyway. But we don't have to face this. This is not something we face. But Christ had joy for it. He said, and I want you to have that joy. Here's how we respond. Famous passage here from James chapter 1. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. This is crazy stuff right here. This is what's so amazing about the resurrection. This is what's so amazing about being a Christian, about truly believing in the power of the resurrection, is that you can face trial, you can face horrible things with joy. There's nothing else that will give you this. There's no self-help programs out there. There's no medication. There's nothing else out there that is going to truly let you face the worst things with joy. And James is saying, and Peter is saying, count it all joy when you face these trials, because it turns your faith into pure gold. We can have joy in every situation. Now, this is a passage that's often misunderstood, so I want to give you a little bit more out of Philippians chapter 4. Verse 12 says, I know how to be brought low, I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Sometimes we just read verse 13 and go, I can do everything, woohoo, which is kind of taking it out of context. Here's Paul here saying, look, I don't care if I'm hungry or wealthy, or it doesn't matter the situation, I can face all of this because Christ has given me strength. He's saying, similar to what Peter and James are all saying, he's saying we can face abundance, we can face need, we can face all of it with the same perspective of joy. Why? Because of the resurrection. Because of the cross. I want to show you a few pictures to kind of get your mind around the imagery here. Pop up this first one. It looks just like a rock. Anybody know what that is? Take a shot. Anyone? It is kind of a rock. Yes. I think I heard rock. Here's a rock. That is raw gold. That particular picture, I think, if I'm reading right, it was one of the first discoveries of gold in North Carolina. It was a pretty big chunk of gold somebody found right here in NC. But this is what you get. This is what you see. Now, if I see that anywhere, I mean, somebody could take that rock and just put it right here in front of me and go, get ready to get wealthy. I'd look at that and go, that looks like complete junk. Like, please remove that from our stage. Like, that's gold, folks, and a pretty good chunk of it. Now, here's what happens next in the process. Show the next picture. Something has to happen to this goofy-looking rock, this thing that has no value. It has to be completely melted. I mean, burnt to smithereens. And then you get the last thing. You get pure gold. Peter is saying, James is saying, Scripture is saying, look, if you really want to understand this joy thing, you want to understand what it means to rejoice, there's going to be some tests. Right now you look like a goofy rock. Your faith is like this thing that has, it looks like no value. But your faith is proven through the test of time, through the test of life, whether or not this is what you actually are. This is the joy that's really in there. When it comes under fire, who are you really, you know? What joy really comes out? Some of us, if we're put under enough pressure, we eventually get to what we call a breaking point. And it's at that moment that a lot of us are no longer really acting like believers anymore. It's at a certain breaking point where we start going, I have no clue what hope, love, joy, any of these things are. And what we see here in Peter is that the resurrection is supposed to change that. That we can face everything with joy, no matter the pressure, no matter the scorching effect of life. Genuine faith generates joy. Genuine faith generates joy. If you have genuine faith, you should be emitting joy. There's no excuse here in the text. I've heard people say, you know, I'm just not a friendly person. I'm just not a very nice person. I'm just not happy, you know. I don't really care to make other people, you know, feel good around me. I've heard a lot of people say these kind of things. I'm just kind of down a lot, you know. It's just kind of my nature, you know. James, Peter, all these guys, the Bible is saying that's just baloney. If you have genuine faith, joy should be happening. There's no excuse here for, well, I'm just having a bad day. I don't feel like being nice today. I have these days too, folks. There's times where I just don't want to be nice. but I'm like some kind of pastor guy, so I got to be nice all the time. It's not the way we should think. Genuine faith, no, my faith in Christ, the resurrection, this needs to be on my mind so often. It needs to be something I wake up thinking about. My Savior, my Jesus, He took on the cross for me. He rose from the grave for me. The least I can do is be joyful. It makes no sense for us to go through life going, I got a cloud over my head, when the Savior of the world has done everything for us. Genuine faith generates joy. Are you generating joy for the world around you? Some of you face great trials often. Some of us see people at their worst a lot. And you can be different in those moments. Your faith can do something different for people around you. It will bring you much praise and glory, is what verse 7 says. What an interesting thing for Peter to say. If you will have joy in these moments, if your faith can stand the test of time, it will bring you praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ is revealed. This is something admirable. This is something worthy of your work. The resurrection of Jesus should cause wonderful, overcoming joy in us. Is it happening for you? Here's the second thing. Love Him. Love Him. I tried to make these points easy to remember. Have faith in Him. Love Him. You want to know how to have joy? Quit thinking about your junk all the time. Quit thinking about your stuff and everything that's trials in your life. Nah. Get that out of the way. No. Have faith in Jesus and love Jesus. Get focused on the Savior. And see then what your joy will do. So second thing, love Him. Verse 8, you love Him even though you've never even seen Him. This word love, Peter is saying you can love Him. This is agape here. This is that unconditional kind of God kind of love. This is the kind of love you can have for Jesus, even though none of us have seen Him. I haven't seen the risen Lord. Maybe you've had a dream or something, I don't know, but most of us have not seen the risen Lord, and you love Him still. It's interesting, the phrasing here. He says, you love Him. This is this present tense, this active, ongoing. You love Him now, you keep on loving Him, even though past tense, you never seen Him. But this doesn't matter. This excuse, it doesn't matter. And you know what? We can make a lot of other excuses here. Peter just addresses one. You know, you've never seen Him, but can you even love something you've never seen? Can you love something you're unsure of what it's even doing in your life? Can you love that? I think that's where we struggle, right? We struggle to love God. We struggle to love Jesus because we're not sure what He's doing. This idea of we haven't seen Him is more than just physically. Maybe we haven't seen Him, His hands at work in our life. And so we start to go, how can I love this? This might kind of sound shallow to you, but I don't think I could have fallen in love with my wife had I never seen her. Okay? Bear with me for a moment. I think my wife is very pretty. Had she not been very pretty to me when I first saw her, I'm just saying, it might not have worked out. I know that sounds horrible. Please forgive me. But all the guys in the room and some of the ladies, they know I'm right. I've been told that ladies see things different. I can't speak for y'all. But I know as a guy, there's got to be attraction. It's got to happen. And I think it's true for women too. There's got to be attraction. I don't know what y'all are attracted to, though. Y'all see things different. Could I have loved her without ever seeing her? I don't know. I don't know about that. Her personality's great. We work well together, but can we love things we've never seen? This must be true. We must be able to love Christ without ever seeing Him. Here's something I wanted to take you down. Here's a rabbit trail. Does an expectant parent love their unborn child? Absolutely. Right? Definitely. This is the only thing I could really, there's probably something else out there, but this is where my mind went first. There's a child as a father, as a mother especially, and as a father too, that child, you begin loving them way before you ever see them. Way, way, way. You start praying for that belly. You're just talking to a belly. And you're like, this is... The first time, it's like, this is kind of weird, to be honest with you. I'm just talking to your belly. All right, praying. But you start loving that child, and that's what makes it difficult if things go wrong in the process. Otherwise, it wouldn't bother anybody. But no, you start falling for that child long before you see it. I want to share a little story from you. This isn't in your notes, but the story from John chapter 16. The disciples begin asking each other, because Jesus has just said something really strange in John 16. He starts telling them, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Well, so here's a little mind bomb for you disciples. You're going to not see me for a little while, and then you are going to see me. Deal with that. And the disciples start going, I don't have a clue what he's talking about. So here's Jesus' explanation. When a woman is giving birth, this is chapter 16, verse 21, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. It's painful to give birth, right, ladies? It's not easy. Painful. But when the human being enters the world, there's nothing but joy. I've seen this 3 times now. I don't know how women do this. You go through what seems to be an impossible thing to do. And then the moment the baby is in your arms, complete joy and carefree. As a dad, as the husband, there's still things happening at that moment. You're holding baby. People are getting stitched up and stuff down here. So I'm like, that looks... And she's just like... I'm like, weird. Okay. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Look, you go through incredible pain, but the moment the baby's here, it's incredible joy. Verse 22, so also have sorrow now. Look, disciples, you're going to have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive. That your joy may be complete. Look, disciples, a time is coming when I will be crucified and I will resurrect, and a time is coming even beyond that when I will come again. And in the scheme of God time, that's really not a much time, because God, he stands outside of all that. He says, in just a little while, you're going to see me again. I want to paint this insane picture for you, that I believe that we are going through what is a lifetime of pregnancy with joy. That we are all the expectant mothers in here, going, you know what? There's a lot of sorrow. I've seen that last trimester. I've seen those last few weeks of pregnancy. It's painful. Back starts hurting. The whole process, it gets very unfortunate for a while. That's where we are. That's where we are as people in life, facing this world like an expectant mother going, one day. And the person we're going to see isn't offspring. The person we're going to see is the resurrected Christ. And he's coming again. He says it's not going to be that long. That's what he tells the disciples. That was a long time ago. But we can have this kind of joy, this thing where we go, you know what, we're facing trial, we're facing anguish, this hurts, but I can have joy in this because of the love I have for what's coming. Just like a mother loves that baby she's never seen, we can love Christ who's coming again to free us from all this. Romans chapter 8 says this of all of creation. It says, verse 22, for we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Isn't that true? Don't we long for this? We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. The creation, the people, we're all pregnant and ready and bearing through it. And we're eagerly waiting for the joy of the Savior. John 14, 28 says, "You heard me say to you, I'm going away. I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced. Because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." He says, he's saying to his disciples, he's saying to you, if you love me, you'll have joy in the fact that Christ has died and risen again, and that he will come again. This will grant you great joy. When we love Jesus, we will rejoice. He says, even more so that he is gone. Why should we rejoice more that we don't get to see him? I'd love to see Jesus. I'd love to see him. He says, no, you will rejoice in this. Why? Because his departure means that he has now sent the Holy Spirit, something that had never happened in the Old Testament. Now we have this understanding, this ability, this power to have joy in suffering. This ability to now open God's Word and for it to make sense and speak. Unconditional love conceives joy. Unconditional love conceives joy. This love is contagious, man. It's like something is in the water with this kind of love. This love is making joy. When you get this kind of loving, a birthing happens. It's one of great joy. The love of Christ through the resurrection has taken root and is blooming in joy. So that when I see you or someone else sees you in public, you are someone who is blossoming with joy. And I could ask you, how's your day going? And you could be like, you know what? Today has been incredibly horrible, but I love Jesus. We can do this. The Word says we can do this. We can love Him even though we haven't seen Him. We can have joy even in the midst of trials. Does the resurrection make you well up with love for Jesus? Here's the last thing. I don't want to wait on love too long. I don't want y'all feeling that love too long. Last thing is trust Him. Have faith in Him, love Him, trust Him. Trust Him. It's all right here in the text. I didn't have to work too hard to get after this. It's right there. Verse 9, though you do not see Him now, you trust Him and you rejoice with the final two stages of Whig joy. Glorious and inexpressible joy. This is great. Trust. Believe. Even if you don't see Jesus, you can put your trust in Him. This goes back to that concept of, am I seeing Christ in my life? Maybe some really bad stuff's been happening in your life. Maybe you don't see the hands of God at work all the time. Do you still trust Him? Romans says, all things work for the good of those who love Him. Do you still trust Him? Sometimes you go through situations in your life where it's like, I don't even know where God's taking me right now. Do you still trust Him? Here's a good quote from a guy that's, I wish I was as smart as. Some of you may have heard of old Charles Spurgeon. He once said, God is too good to be unkind. He is too wise to be confused. If I cannot trace His hand, I can always trust His heart. Sometimes we can't trace God's hands. Sometimes we don't know what He's doing, but we can always trust that He's doing what's best for us. John chapter 20, 29 says, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Psalm 13 says, I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Look, we can trust Him though we haven't even seen Him. Though we're unclear about what He's doing all the time, we can trust Him because we know He loves us. Why does trusting cause joy? Why does this happen? Isn't it because trusting, when we trust in Christ, a weight gets lifted? When we start going, all right, I trust in Christ through the crucifixion and the resurrection, so that's my eternity. Now I know that I'm safe. I know now that because of what He's done for me, I can spend eternity with God the Father who created me. This is great news, but it's more than that. When I trust in Christ, it's not just something that happens out there. No, the kingdom of heaven is now. It's near. And so when I trust Him, He can do something in my life right now. Now I don't have to keep going, I don't know where I'm supposed to go next. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. No, Christ wants to be involved in every step. He wants to wake up with me tomorrow. He wants to go through life as I face my career, as I face parenting. I can trust Christ through all of that, and the weight is lifted. The weight is lifted. And that gives me these crazy feelings of peace and joy and like, oh, can't have joy when the pressure's on. No, I want to get the pressure off. Through trusting. Somebody, hey Nathan, bring me a chair. Por favor. I'm getting tired up here. I need to sit. Not really. I have the energy of 10 bears. All right. So let's just say, this is a chair. All right. Now, we have to make some decisions when we sit in a chair. We don't think these things through anymore. When we see a chair like this, we make some assumptions about this chair. We say, this chair is probably going to hold my weight. And some of you don't even really consider that. I've seen some people sit. I'm not picking on any of you in here. It could be some of y'all. You'll just be walking and you'll just sit. And if anybody was to whoopee cushion you, it'd be on. I mean, you do not look where you're sitting your butt. You just don't look. My mother's notorious for this. You can do horrible things to her because she just flies into a room with her butt just poof. And we're sitting. And all of us are sitting. We gave great trust to this chair. And even though these chairs are metal and it's not the greatest thing on your butt, I am sorry, you know, not the most comfortable thing in the world. But it is nice to get to put your feet up. We could all be standing. We could all stand the whole time we're in here, and some churches do that, I think. Well, we could do that. But it's nice. It's, had a long day at work. What do you want to do? Sit on that couch. Doesn't really matter what you do from there. You just got to get them feet up, man. Some of us got them recliners. We'll put our feet so far back. We're putting great trust into that chair, though. Anybody ever sat in a chair that did not have great value? There's these white chairs at my dad's house that... My dad, at one point, these were for like the youth when we used to do youth at our house way back in the day. And so little kids, like youth age, teenagers, most of these kids are thin, no problem. But you start getting some adult males up in there, and these little white chairs, he used to have like 50 of them. I think he's down to like 12. I'm telling you, there have been some awesome explosions. You sit on one of these white chairs wrong, and it just goes, you got four, and it'll just go out. Like an umbrella, just got to be careful trusting a chair. These metal chairs are pretty nice. Do you trust Jesus? Do you trust Him in such a way that it relieves the weight? When you get up in the morning, you might wake up with a great deal of anxiety and stress and whatever. And man, it would be nice to just rest in Jesus. Trust Him enough that He can hold you. After a long day's work, we're kicking our feet up. What if we're trusting Jesus in those moments? Do we trust Him enough to kick back with Him? And this gives joy. This grants us great joy because now we're relieved. We're relieved. Redeeming trust produces relieving joy. Redeeming trust produces relieving joy. Will you choose to trust Jesus even when you don't see His work in your life? Choose to trust Him. This is where joy is found. Joy is in trusting Him for everything. It causes us to have peace and hope and absolutely joy. I want to charge you all this week as we're closing now to have joy. But not because this week's going to be awesome. I hope so. I hope you guys have a great week. In fact, when we leave here, we're going to be like, hey, y'all have a great week. We might even say that and put our finger up and kick our leg. All of that. Do that for me, Devin, with your Indiana Jones hat, please. Do all of that. And I hope that happens. I really do. I want you to have a great week. But I know the only way you're going to have a great week isn't based on what happens this week. It's going to be based on whether or not you trust, whether you love, whether you have faith. Will you decide this week to go, you know what? It doesn't matter what gets sent my way. I'm going to have joy in Jesus. Because this resurrection thing is a bigger deal to me than just Easter. We're finishing the Easter series, but we're not finished with Easter, ever. This resurrection is too important for me to put it on the shelf until next year. Will it give you hope every day? Will it be the center of your life? And will it cause you to have joy in everything? Don't put the resurrection on the shelf. Let it be right there on your forehead, always and forever. Choose this week to put your faith in Him. Love Him. Trust Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for this beautiful day, Lord. Thank You for helping us get in here this morning and get church ready, for preparing hearts and minds this morning. That's the work only You can do. And we're just thankful for all of that, Lord. We're thanking You for all of that. Lord, I'm coming to You now, Lord, with full awareness that I don't always have joy. That sometimes I do the very thing You've told me not to. That I put my hope, I put my joy, I put my faith in something other than You. And it always fails me, and You said it would. Father, help us this morning to understand that joy comes only through You. That the joy we can have that faces all odds comes through You and through Your resurrection, Lord. Thank You so much for what Easter means. Thank You so much for the cross, for the resurrection. But even more than that, Lord, that You are constantly, daily redeeming and resurrecting our lives. Help us, Lord, to be focused on You. To pray a little bit less about the next thing that comes in our life. A little bit less about, oh Lord, please help me get along with such and such at work. Oh Lord, please help me get that promotion. Oh Lord, those are okay prayers, Lord. But help us to focus a whole lot less on that and a whole lot more on, all right, God, help me be close to You today. I want to put all my faith in You, Lord. Grant me great faith. Lord, teach me to love You more. Teach me to trust You more. God, help me in my lack to be more trusting in You. Help me to have more faith that You are at work in my life, Lord. Even in those moments when I can't see Your hands, Lord, help me to trust You and love You. Grant me this joy that I know only comes from You. Lord, I want to give somebody the opportunity today that might have come into this place who doesn't yet know the power of the resurrection in their life. That they've heard the stories, maybe past Easters, maybe at past churches. They've heard the stories, but they've never really made a decision to trust it and to make You Lord. I want to give them the opportunity right now to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, I know that You died on the cross for my sin. For all sin, but really specifically for my sin. And those things that are broken in my life, those things I can't fix, I know You died for them too. And Lord, I believe that You also rose from the grave, that You conquered death for me. And this day, I want to change everything. This day, Lord, I want to say I believe in You, in the power of the cross and resurrection. And Lord, I trust my life to You. I am in Your hands now, Lord. Please come into my life and start changing the way I've been doing things, because it's not working. I need You. I need a Savior. And I believe that Savior is You, Lord Jesus. I trust You now. Help us all, Father, to put our trust in You, to love You more, and to focus our lives around the resurrection. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.